This morning, it's a pleasure to be here on this occasion. Thank you to each one of you who have come out to share. As I was thinking about the implications of the service this morning, couldn't help but thinking of the theme of church building. It's not that many years ago there was 14 members here. Today there's 19. And we praise God for His work in the lives of individuals to make that happen. Turn with me to Luke 14. My title this morning is To Build a Church. And we want to look at Scripture. We want to learn from it. And I also want to illustrate it. Church building is not for the faint of heart. Church building is something that takes work. And yet I trust that as we look around here, that there's a commitment in each to build the Church of Jesus Christ. We're going to read verses 25 to 35 of Luke 14. I wrote down the wrong reference. The Account of the Tower. Yeah. Okay, here. I didn't go far enough. Luke 14, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong verses. I did say the right ones. Verse 25. Sorry about that. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, this is Jesus. People were following him. He took opportunity to teach. And this is what he said. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. To build a church, the first thing I see here in verse 26 is it uses ordinary people. He says here, any man. And I'm going to solicit the help of the children here because I really don't have time to do all this. Any of you children that want to come build this church, it's going to be a church building. We're talking about building a church of people. We're going to build by way of illustration. I want to show some things here with just a block church building. So go ahead, children, line up in the middle aisle. Anybody that wants to help lay blocks here. First thing you're going to notice about these blocks is they are different. They're all different from each other. We're going to build about like that, okay? You lay a couple blocks. Let the next one lay a couple blocks. They're all different from each other. There's one thing in common, and that is my next sub-point. Any man that comes to Jesus. Any man is a candidate to be a part of the church, but they must come to Jesus. And as we come to Jesus, we become the material that he needs, that he wants to build a church. The next thing I want to notice, verses 26 to 29, the thought just comes up different times. What we need to build on, we need to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. You can keep circulating around the line if you want to, because it's going to take a few rounds. You can get back in the line again if you want to do more. We need to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. That is the only way we can build a church. The next main point in the lesson I have here for us this morning is we need to prepare for a cost. He says here in verse 26 that we need to be ready to, it says, hate our family. In other words, we dare not let family relations get in the way of building church. And that can happen in different ways. Sometimes people have family that are not Christians, and they're discouraging. Sometimes we have the other extreme, where there's family biases in a congregation, because there's enough of us, and this is the way we've always done it. This is the way we want to do it. And this is also a problem, same sort of a problem. Verse 27 talks about my next subpoint here. Actually, I'm going to back up just a little bit. Verse 26, as we look at the cost, we think about this thing of family relationships not getting in the way. I sum that up, it takes extraordinary powers. Now, this is something we cannot do on our own. We cannot walk away from something family is saying to do something we believe God is calling for on our own. It takes extraordinary powers, something very deep. The next thing, verse 27, talks about bearing a cross. There is a cross that we must bear. There is burdens to carry. There's trials and tribulations. It's all part of the walk. It's all part of the building. A builder doesn't build a church without work. These children have been working at this for a while, and it's not done yet. There's work. It's something we need to just do and do more of and do more. And you know, in the spiritual sense, as we build a church, it is never done. There's always more work to do. As long as there's time, there's more work to do. Verse 28, he talks about counting the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it. The costs go on and on until the finish. We have a period of time here in which we can build church. As long as time lasts, there's costs to build the church. It doesn't matter if you are just coming into the church and looking at the costs, or if you're in the church. Today, we're asking you to look at the costs. Is this something you are willing to do? Is this something you have been real with? Something you have been addressing actively in your life? Verse 29, again, the idea of the foundation. It all starts with a foundation. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. Okay, children, let's see if we can work at getting the top level, and we'll put a roof on it then. The foundation is Jesus Christ. The next thing that I see in verse 31, as we look at the story of the battle, it raises the question, can I go out with 10,000 against him that's coming at me with 20,000? And I have something here I want to use to illustrate that. The odds are against us. The devil is out against us. He does not like when we build church. He's going to do what he can to tear it down. I say the odds are against us from the standpoint that there are more against us than for us. But brothers and sisters, we don't have to let that stop us, because we are guaranteed a victory. It doesn't matter if there's 20,000 coming against 10,000. If we count the cost, and Jesus Christ is the core of that count, we are guaranteed a victory. We're going to see in a little bit. Well, verse 31, again, we're looking at an army of 20,000 trained men. We are under professional attack. This is not something that is just a haphazard attack against the church. The devil has a very organized attack against the church. He does not like to see church building. And as the devil has his agents watching a service like this morning, he is very displeased. He is angered. The Bible says he is as a roaring lion. Let's build this out yet, and then we're going to stop it, okay? See what you can do to fill that in. Okay, why don't the rest of you go ahead and sit down a while? The devil is as a roaring lion. Let's see if you can find another flat one there. Fit in there. Okay, you can go sit down now. Thank you. Did these children build the perfect church? No, they didn't. But you know, that's congregational life today. We don't have the perfect church. Would that be a serviceable building? I believe it could be. One thing that really did impress me is they built it solid. I thought when I was done, I was going to be able to just knock some blocks out. But they've made that a challenge. These are cautions we need to take as we build a church. We need to build it strong. We need to build it with the proper ingredients. It's going to be ordinary people. But we can put the proper ingredients into the lives of ordinary people and build a strong church. The devil is out to attack the church. He is not happy with the thought of church building. He wants to see it fall. The pieces here. Anyway, the building's not quite the size I envisioned, but there's our church. Brothers and sisters, this morning, are you happy to be a part of a church that is fighting against the odds? Are you blessed by that? Are you blessed in spite of the fact that there's many, many agents out there that are seeking to destroy that church? I am. I'm thrilled by that, because the foundation is Jesus Christ. Amen. And I know the work will go on. Verse 33 says it requires forsaking all. We have to give our all to be a profitable part of the Church of Christ. All means everything. That means there is nothing that I am holding that I am going to reserve back from God's touch. That it is all God's. It is all his to do with as he wants. We have to forsake all. The next main point of the message I have titled Persevere to the End. Verses 29 and 30, I'm challenged with the thought that the world is watching. They're watching to see if this endures. They're watching to see if it is real. They're watching to see if this is going to last. The world is watching. Verse 34, we talk about salt without savor. Second subpoint, it is possible to lose out. In fact, as we knock blocks out, I still have a building. That was one person jumped out. Another failure. We kind of have a building. But sometimes you have people going out all directions. Soon you don't have a building left. In fact, entire local congregations can collapse, which is something very sad. But the Church of Jesus Christ will remain. The Church of Jesus Christ will remain. But brothers and sisters, what are you putting into your local congregation this morning? What you put into your local congregation this morning is directly affecting what the Church of Jesus Christ will do. Can God fulfill his purposes if not everybody stays faithful to his calling? Yes, he can. He is supernatural, but he has called us as humble humans to fulfill that calling. And today, this morning, for many of us, is a time of examination. Am I fulfilling that calling? I put that plea out to each of us. Am I fulfilling that calling? Third subpoint, verse 35, I see it. To lose out is despiteful to mankind, not only to the Church of Jesus Christ, but to mankind. This salt that lost its savor, they took it and they trashed it. They threw it in the worst of places. They threw it in the dump because it was obnoxious. It didn't taste right. It looked like salt, but it just, there's no savor. It had lost everything that salt was to be for. It had lost the properties that make salt salt. To lose out is despiteful to mankind. My fourth subpoint, also found in verse 35, the answer to preservation is to continue to hear, and I'm going to say, and do, the word of Jesus. That's the answer to preservation. We saw this church here destroyed because several regular people decided to bail out. Your loyalty is not to this congregation. This congregation was destroyed. Your loyalty needs to be to the Church of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's going to give a working unity for this congregation. But your first loyalty is to the Church of Jesus Christ. So the answer to preservation is to hear and do what Jesus says in his word. And that's my challenge for us this morning. Is that what I am doing in my life? I would like each of us to ask that question to ourselves. Is that what I am doing in my life? Because finally, that's what will count for eternity. Let's kneel for prayer.